This panel is actually called Beyond E-Commerce, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't at least talk about it because it does have such a significant impact on the overall retail market. As you can see by this chart, over the past 9 years, Amazon has actually grown their share of the e-commerce market from about 14% to 49%. This is in light of the growth of digital natives. Primary way that they've driven this is a focus on market share over and above profits. Their recent earnings have been soft because they have focused on fulfillment and speed to delivery. They've also been very innovative in new technologies, whether it's their one click, which does a quick checkout once you get online. They also are offering sales of additional retailers through their platform. So the result of this has actually been that many consumers have migrated away from searching for the best price, go straight to Amazon, do all their shopping on Amazon. And Amazon, I'm sorry, it does not even necessarily have the best price, but the consumer has gotten confident enough that they are a low-cost provider and right in that range, that they would rather do the majority of the basket of their shopping on Amazon so they don't go anywhere else. And this is really what's driven their market share. But the overall retail industry, e-commerce still only represents about 9.8% of it. When you look at the retail industry, this actually includes restaurants, grocery, convenience stores, service stations. Either these sectors are slow to migrate to operating online or they are not capable of it. But when you look at the overall share of e-commerce, it's still relatively small. However, when you look at specific sectors such as apparel, about 35% of apparel sales now are online, so this is where it's had the most significant impact. This, to me, is the key driver of what is causing most of the restructurings in the United States right now. If you look at this chart, 23.5 square feet of retail space is in the United States for every man, woman, and child in this country. This is 40% higher than Canada, double what it is for Australia, 5 times what it is for the UK, and 10 times what it is for Germany. Now, the US consumer is a little bit different than all those other companies, but this is an unsustainable chart and will obviously lead to further restructurings. With that, I'll turn it over to Gabe, and he'll talk about bankruptcy's impact on retail.
Yeah, before I do that, I actually just trying to stitch together some of the data you have. You mentioned 35% of e-commerce is apparel. Or 35% of apparel is e-commerce. And then you also had 766 specialty apparel stores. Is there a link between that? Is there disruption in the apparel industry that's causing pressure on specialty retailers?
Yes. I mean, so there's obviously the majority of the store openings have been focused in retail. There's also other issues such as demographics. The consumer is actually spending much less smaller share of their wallet on apparel than they have historically. In 1977, about 6.2% of household income was spent on apparel. Today, it's about 3.1%. So that's 50% decrease. There's other demographics that are also changing. Millennials are less focused on retail and apparel purchases. They're more experiential, so they're spending their money on travel. They're spending their money on entertainment. They're spending their money on restaurants. And I mean, those are the biggest drivers to the real
so
the impact
you,
on.
Do you know? And I'm sorry for putting you on the spot.
Yep.
Do you know who's driving the increase in e-commerce sales? For apparel,
I think it's across the board. It's across all demographics, across all ages.
It's interesting. So, we were gonna, if we have time, we were gonna open up the Q&A. So if others have questions, I don't want to monopolize it. So shifting gears from sort of the overview of the industry and trends, we wanted to talk a little bit about legal tools and the legal toolkit for addressing retailer insolvency, specifically within Chapter 11. There's a lot of different angles and retailer-specific issues that could be addressed. We thought it made sense to sort of focus individually or specifically on leases. The reason for that being a lot of what drives and notwithstanding the discussion around e-commerce, a lot of what drives overhead and the sustained burden on a retailer is its brick and mortar. So a retailer's ability to rationalize its lease portfolio with landlords is a massive tool that Chapter 11 offers, and is also something that you can't really effectively take advantage of outside of Chapter 11. Or even if you're trying to do it outside of Chapter 11, it's always in the context of, I will file and be able to do X or Y. So start with a little black letter law. When we look at leases, we really deal with two code sections, 365, 363, right? So 365 is the power of the debtor to assume unexpired leases, to assume and assign unexpired leases, and also to reject unexpired leases.